Brother Rick, how are you doing tonight?
I'm great, brother. How are you?
Man, it's good to be here with you tonight.
Good to hear your voice. You're sounding mighty healthy. Got over all that crud you were facing, huh?
You know what? I only just got over it last week, I think completely.
Yeah.
I was still getting up in the morning and having a coughing spell. So I'll tell you, it was stubborn. Hmm. But praise God, I am doing much better. And how are you doing this evening?
Doing great, man, on this what they call Super Tuesday, right? That's the super election day where all of the primaries are held. So it's kind of been I think it'll be an eventful day, although we probably already know how it's all going to turn out. But nonetheless, it's exciting.
Rick, will this be the day where we'll know who's going to run against Queen Hillary?
Yeah, probably so, man. This will sum it all up, because Queen Jezebel Hillary will be, as you know, as I've been saying since 2012, she's the one. As they say, the chosen one, the anointed one. She's going in, you know, at least that's the word I got from the Lord. She will be the next president. So we'll just see how all of this is going to shake out. The Lord told me it will look like she's going to be derailed. It'll look like, you know, there for a while, it was looking like Bernie Sanders was going to kind of upset her. But see, the Lord said, just keep watching. You'll see it all just all kind of fall into place. So barring some miracle, and the Lord is certainly in the miracle business, he can change things around. That's just, but I think today, yeah, you will know the Republican nominee. Unless there is some funny monkey business that goes on in the Republican establishment. And that's ironically some of the things that we're going to talk about tonight and how that relates to what's going on with spiritual warfare.
I'm excited to have you on tonight. Again, folks, welcome. We're live with Pastor Rick Bell, heavenlywarriors.com. Brother Rick, the mic is yours. Take it away.
Thank you, Jesus. We just thank you for this time again to come together and share your word, break the bread of life, and to teach. God, teach. Let those who have ears hear this word tonight, hear this message, and let them be changed and different after this broadcast. In Proverbs, the 25th chapter, Proverbs 25:2, it says, "It is the glory of God to conceal a matter, but the glory of kings is to search out a matter." So right now, where we are in that, we have a desperate need to search things out. We as the church, the body of Christ, is going to have more knowledge in this last time, these last days, than we've ever had in history, just to survive, to get through. You see, in Jesus' time, the Pharisees and the Sadducees were in charge of the church. Really, the same way they are today. They're still in charge. They've not gone away. They just don't call themselves Pharisees and Sadducees anymore, but they still have the same basic functions. And they're running the church system, and that's not all they are running. They are also running the political system. That same Sadducee, Pharisaical spirit is in charge of the political system. And let me get into that just a little bit. This is not a political broadcast or statement. I'm pretty much apolitical. Wasn't always that way, but I've grown that way because I've realized what really goes on in the political arena. And you know, if God is not the head of a thing, the thing is corrupt from the bottom up, honestly. That's the truth. If God's not in charge of a system, then the system is corrupt. And the political system of America is a machine. It is run by the same Sadducee and Pharisee spirit that killed Jesus. And that was the spirit that controlled the church and controlled everything. The way it manifests in the political arena, what I've come to understand over the last few years is that the two major parties in America, the Democratic Party and the Republican Party, are basically the same party. They just have a different name. Someone said they're they're two different sides to the same coin. And I've come to believe that. You can look at what? Their fruit. Look at the fruit of what they produce. What you are witnessing now is the exposure of the corruption of that political machine, that Sadducee, Pharisee political machine. You're watching the meltdown of that because of this guy named Donald Trump. Trump is the wild card. He's popped into the scene. And you know what, Shannon? He's not playing by the rules. He's not doing it the way he's supposed to do it. And if he doesn't play by the rules, the controllers of the game don't want him in the game. Because if you're not playing by the rules, you can't be controlled. Now, this is certainly not an endorsement for Donald Trump. As you know and I know, I have a schnauzer, and my schnauzer probably has about as much knowledge of the Lord as Donald Trump does. And that's the truth, and I'm not trying to disparage the man, but I'm just saying what I've observed, and I could be wrong, of course, but I don't think he's a Bible-reading man based on his lifestyle and what he said and how he rolls, as we say. But what in the world? How is he getting all of these votes from the evangelicals? Have you been seeing that on the news, Shannon? That he's getting the votes that Ted Cruz, whose father is, you know, a Pentecostal minister. Donald Trump's getting the votes, the evangelicals. Why is that? What's happening? Well, it's quite simple. As we've been teaching on this program for over a year now, there is a vacuum of truth in America. There is a shortage, a deficit of truth in the land. You can go back and listen to some of these teachings that we've done. The people are starving for the truth. They know they're not getting the truth with Hillary Clinton. Any person in their right mind would know there's been some less than truthful statements come out of her mouth on more than one occasion. And it's been well documented. No one wants to talk about it in the media, but we pretty much know that. So then you have the other side of that coin. You have the Republicans. And they're basically part of the machine, part of the establishment, the Washington establishment. And who did they pick to win this whole thing a year ago today? A guy named Jeb Bush. Remember, it was going to be a Bush-Clinton contest. And everyone was happy with that because that was the status quo. And then you've got this billionaire named Donald Trump who jumps into the race with his own money. And he starts saying outrageous things, but people are gravitating to him. And they're saying, you know what? I don't know about the guy's past, but I feel like he's telling the truth. He's telling it like it is. And you are seeing the result of people flocking to him, in my belief, because they perceive that he's telling the truth. Now, whether he is or not, whether he's telling the whole truth and nothing but the truth, I don't know. But he is perceived as being the truth teller in this thing. And that's why he has skyrocketed against all probabilities, against all odds. He's the guy. He's going to get the nomination. Unless the machine, the political machine, does some monkey business, like we talked about on this program, and, you know, basically puts in another candidate or somehow disqualifies him or runs a third party candidate, whatever they're going to do, you're watching the machine exposed. And it's a fascinating thing to watch, no matter who you're pulling for. I don't think anyone Well, I can't say that. Some of you may be voting for Hillary Clinton. I don't know. But it doesn't matter who you want to be the next president. That's irrelevant. If they're not serving the living God and they're not sold out and they're not a Christian, you know this train wreck's just going to get worse. It's going to intensify. But the fact that Donald Trump has taken over the race and everyone's talking about him, and you have never seen the kind of attacks that that man is receiving from everyone, Shannon. Think about it.
I saw something coming into the program today, and they were calling, you know, the Republican Party members rebellious. Rebellious to whose system? Like Trump, do they? Because he bucks their system and wants to break it in two. I mean, and good for him. God bless Trump.
You're watching that Sadducee Pharisee system of the United States government, the good old boy system. You're watching that thing, and he is bucking it. And they're having a meltdown because of it. And, you know, the Lord started doing something. And again, Donald Trump doesn't have anything to do with ministry or anything like that. He is just a demonstration of the people in the land being starved for truth. T-R-U-T-H. Truth. Being starved for it. So they're gravitating to a man who at least they think he's telling the truth. They feel like he's saying what they're thinking. You know, we've gone crazy with this politically correct stuff. We've gone off the deep end with it. And finally, you have a man up there who has enough money to fund and, you know, himself to say what the average Joe, the average working American is thinking. Now, Trump's real rough around the edges. You know, he doesn't say it in an eloquent way many times, but they perceive that he's at least telling them the truth because he's so different from any other politicians that are out there. He's just this different kind of maverick person. And what the Lord started showing me a couple of years ago was that he was going to raise up lay people in ministry. People who are not pastors, who are not preachers. Because the church system has produced these pastors and preachers and evangelists that are part of the system, just like you're seeing the Republican system, the machine, going after Donald Trump because he's an outsider. He's not saying the right stuff that he's supposed to say to perpetrate and continue and perpetuate the system. He's breaking the system. He's blowing it to smithereens. That's what's happening with ministers like me, like you, like others we can speak about that are on Omega Man Radio. We are blowing the church system to smithereens. And the church system does not like it. Shannon, when I come on here and start talking about people, you got to wake up. You've got to get out of the church system. It's sucking the life, the energy out of you. It makes people mad. They don't want to hear about it. When I get on here and tell them, do not be sitting around looking out your window every 30 minutes for the clouds to open up and Jesus to come get you in a rapture before anything bad happens. You need to start learning how to get yourself cleaned up and get yourself in a position where you can fight back these demonic forces that have taken over your life. They don't want to hear that. I mean, to a point where they will cut you out of their life. They don't even want to be around you. If you're not going to believe in that pre-trib thing, they don't even want to be around you. Okay. I don't care one way or the other, whether the pre-trib, post-trib, mid-trib. It was never a big deal to me, Shannon. It just really wasn't. I was taught that we were going to be out of here before the tribulation. It's a pre-trib rapture. And I was okay. All right. But God started showing me some things in 2012. And then he started sending people across my path that had the same revelation I had. Smart people. People who I knew their walk with the Lord. I knew them. with the same revelation that came from that pre-trib to a, you know, let's get our feet on the ground here and get in reality. That thing has just formulated some sort of escapism for the church so they don't have to get in shape. They don't have to do the things and prepare for what's coming. But it's deeper than that. And I just, you know, things are happening quickly. Things are escalating. I know you feel that, Shannon. I know you do. Things are speeding up, right?
Brother, every day, I just have been remarking, it feels like I'm in a riptide current. You know, just being carried down the stream of time. And you know what? I have to remember, we got to focus on the work of the Lord. We've still got to occupy till he comes. But every day, I just feel this speeding up in the spirit. And folks, the only way you're getting out of here early before the last trump is through death. So it's time to man and woman up. We've got a job to do. And brother, if the church does not repent of sin, we will get Queen Jezebel Hillary.
Right.
In the White House. And I'm here to tell you, Red Dawn Invasion will not be far behind. And all the prophecies that have been prophesied over America, nuclear fire, destruction, NBC attack, will be imminent at that time. I'm going to vote against Hillary and vote for whoever runs against her. And I hope that Trump opposes her. And he's got the best shot of anybody to beat her.
He's the only hope that we really have, honestly, Shannon. He really is.
Brother, there may be a slim ray of hope if enough people will stand in the gap, begin to bind and loose and call for repentance. But if we don't, then it's over with, and we will get to live just like the early church did, Pastor Rick, under Nero, or those that had to live under the reign of Jezebel. And it's going to be persecution. Never seen like this before, or never will be seen again here in America. And I know that it will be the time of then if she gets in. I'm just praying and asking God for mercy that we could have a little bit more time, because I know what she will do to this country if she gets in. Let me throw it back to you.
Yeah, that's exactly right, Shannon. And really the only hope of her defeat is going to be through Donald Trump. None of those other Republicans can beat her. They can't even beat Donald Trump. How are they going to beat Queen Jezebel? My brother, the powers that be that run this whole machine, they don't serve the Most High God.
No.
They serve that other one. And make no mistake about it, you are watching that thing happen. How, you know, I could get on this thing for 3 hours, but I'm not. But how do we not talk about this whole Benghazi thing and the video and... If that were Donald Trump who had said that, they would harp on it 7 days a week, all day on every news channel. It would never go away. How do we just sweep these things under the rug? The way we do it is the machine is in charge. You're watching this satanic beast machine. Yes, the beast. You're watching it ramp up and get in a position where we are all going to have to be plugged into that beast, that machine, that number to be able to buy, sell, trade. That's what all this is. That's what all this setup is. Now,
yes,
you just open your eyes, church, and watch what's going on and see it through spiritual eyes, because it is happening. It's no longer coming. It's here. Now, I don't really like to get on and talk about this rapture thing because it makes so many people mad, but I don't have any choice because that teaching is a gateway teaching. And I have heard, and I got confirmation 30 minutes before I went on the air tonight, 30 minutes, I got confirmation from another minister who's a good friend of mine, who got the same thing I got a couple of years ago about the falsity of this pre-trib rapture. Now, neither one of us knew, you know, what's the deal, but God just keeps harping on this with us. So we started to talk about it, and then we started to realize this thing is bigger than just, well, some of the people believe they're going, some of them don't. That seems innocuous and benign on the outside, but internally, that is a lockdown on your mind to be able to not receive some of these other deeper teachings that you desperately need about spiritual warfare and how you're going to get through this stuff that's coming. I know what I'm talking about. Let me just say this. 30 minutes before the show tonight, my friend, that other pastor, who had the same revelation about the pre-tribulation rapture not going to happen, he had a visit from an older pastor who was formerly, and I'm not going to identify him because he was formerly the head of one of the top denominations in the United States of America, the head man. Now, he's older. I believe he's retired from that. But he's a head guy who firmly held and taught the pre-tribulation rapture. Yeah, we just didn't think about it. It was just natural to us, Shannon. Well, today, that man who is retired from that leadership, the head man of this major denomination, stopped by and saw my friend and said, I've got to talk to you. Now, he had no idea that my friend had already come to this conclusion. There was no pre-trib rapture. So this gentleman came in and said, I have to tell you, you've got to hear what I'm saying. There is not going to be a pre-tribulation rapture. And my friend said, that's the confirmation. I need to let Rick Bell know that right now, because, you know, when those things, that's not an accident that those things happen. So I say all that just to say, you know, I don't personally care what you believe or how you believe it, but I am telling you, when you break that barrier in your mind, I don't understand it, but something happens and a floodgate opens. And I've heard this over and over and over. I've heard many ministers who I respect. I've heard ministers on the radio say this. It has happened to me. It happened to my friend. It happened to this man who is in leadership of this major denomination. He told him word for word some of the conversations he and I had had, that when you break through this barrier, it's like blinders are lifted off of your eyes, and you start to see the truth in many things. Many other spiritual truths you're able to receive them. Now, I don't know how else more plain to say that, but if you're still in a mindset where you're waiting for the pre-tribulation rapture, I tell you, go to the scripture. There are do a Google search. Do a Google search on just type in false pre-tribulation rapture. Just type that in. Just see what comes up. And you will be amazed at what you will find, the facts that are out there. Not some, you know, theory or man reading into something. Just do that. And you will see. And that will start to open up when you can get that breakthrough, that thing to happen. So,
Rick, it's a bewitchment that has fallen on some people out there. They've been brainwashed by people who did not know the word. They meant well, but somehow or another, they overlooked Matthew chapter 24. And folks, every man's personal opinion aside, let the Lord Jesus Christ settle this issue once and for all. He does in Matthew 24, verses 28 to 32, and he tells you exactly when he's coming back. And his return is after the scripture says, after the days of the tribulation. It defines it in Matthew 24, which tribulation? The great tribulation. Then shall the sign of the Son of Man appear. Folks, it's after the tribulation. We don't get out here early except through death. Now, Rick, my grandmother died. She escaped the tribulation. She served the Lord faithfully. He said, it's time to come home. He took her. I have other friends and family who have died. They're not going to have to go through the tribulation. They escaped it. That's the only way you and I are going to escape it, folks, is through death earlier than the return at the last trump. You may be alive at the last trump. I'm hoping. I'm going for the last trump. Rick, I don't know if I'll make it or not, but I'm shooting for it. But you know what? The reality is people are frightened at the prospect of being wrong. In fact, many are in denial because to come to grips with the truth that nobody gets out of here alive except they'd be alive when Jesus returns at the last trump, okay? Then what's that really mean for you and I? That means that we're going to have to go through this. And many people are not prepared. Folks, it's time to wake up while you still can get prepared spiritually to endure to the end. Okay, so you don't faint on that day and become greater, the part of the great falling away, and take the mark of the beast, which is what many are going to take. They think it's the easy way out. No, they went right into the lake of fire after they take that. You're damned, and you will not be able to repent of that sin. So how are you going to make it is the question. And many people don't even want to look at that prospect, but you better wake up to this stark reality that we've been chosen to go through persecution and the greatest tribulation that has ever hit the face of this globe. Are you going to make it out the other side? Will Jesus find faith when he returns? Will you remain patient and keep the faith, or will you curse God and die and go to the lake of fire at the end of days? Let me give it back to you, Brother Rick.
Well said, Brother Shannon. Well said, and absolutely true. We're getting out of here when we die, unless Jesus comes back, and it will be after these things happen. You can't get by Matthew 24. You can't get around it. You can't spin it. You can't do anything with it. It just is what it is, and we have been set up. It's a setup for Satan, and you see the fruit of it everywhere. So what my reason for coming on here, you know, Omega Man, and doing this regular teaching is I'm a teacher at heart. I have this need to communicate information to people. I've been a teacher all of my adult life. As many of you know, my story, I was a karate guy, karate instructor. From the time I was literally 19 years old, I was teaching adults and children martial arts, teaching karate, and I've just taught my whole life. It's just something that God's given me to do. In all of that teaching, and I've been successful also, I'm a good communicator, and some of you, you know, have learned some things, and just the way we break things down in this simple way on these broadcasts. The thing that is the most important when it comes to learning, getting knowledge, getting wisdom, is getting the understanding of not how to do something, but why you are doing it. And let me explain what I mean in this. Everyone wants to know, how do you do it? How do you do deliverance? How do you do self-deliverance? How do you do these things? And those are important and valid questions. But the most important question to ask is, why are you doing a thing the way you're doing it? Let me give you an example of that. My father was, he was in World War II. He left school at 17 years old. He never finished high school. And he joined the United States Navy, and he went to fight in the South Pacific, the Japanese, in World War II. He was a gunner on a destroyer, the USS Ward, W-A-R-D. And my dad literally shot down Japanese Zeros as they came toward the plane. He came back from the war. Dad was a mechanical genius. He never had any schooling beyond what he went to probably 10th grade in high school, and then he joined the Navy. And in the Navy, they taught him to be an electrician. He was an electrician's mate on the ship, and what that entailed was my dad worked on the huge electric motors, the DC, direct current electric motors that power the ship. He worked on those motors. When he got out of the Navy, he came back to our hometown in East Texas, and he began to work in an electric motor shop because that's what he knew how to do. My dad was a genius at that. He ended up buying the company out after about, I guess he was there 10 years or so, and he bought the company, and that ended up being the family business, Bell Electric Motor Company. I know it sounds crazy. If you've ever been in a machine shop, Shannon, you know all of the equipment that's in a machine shop. There's a lot of equipment. When you're working on big industrial electric motors, there's a lot of equipment that's needed for that. My dad didn't have the money to buy all of the equipment he needed. My dad went to the junkyard and built high-tech, high-functioning machines to wind armatures for electric motors. Now, this is the equivalent of Henry Ford going to the junkyard and getting the parts he needed for his assembly line to build a Model T. I'm telling you, this guy, he knew how to build anything. I was probably 8 years old. I said, Dad, I want a go-kart. What I meant was I wanted him to go buy me a go-kart so I could ride around the neighborhood in it. Dad said, okay, I'll build you one. We took about 2 weekends, and he built a go-kart. I mean, built it. Frame, welded it up, put a motor on it, put a seat on it. We had these bar stool seats in our house. Mother wasn't too happy, but he took one of those bar stools and turned it into a seat for my go-kart. So I'm riding around the neighborhood on this homemade go-kart. So Dad knew how to do all these things. But what Dad did not know, he didn't know how to teach. So I grew up in the electric motor shop, and my dad showed me how to fix electric motors. They're very complicated. You think about wires, okay? Think about a lot of wires. That's what makes an electric motor work. A lot of wires, a lot of parts, a lot of moving parts. You know, electric motor goes round and round and around. Well, something makes it go around and around. That's called electromotive force. I never understood, Shannon, why the motors turned, okay? I knew how to make them turn. I knew how to do the wires, but I never understood. And I would beg my dad, I say, why, Dad, why do we do it this way? And his answer was, because that's the way we do it. That was his teaching for me. So I never got the understanding or the wisdom of why I was doing this. And I grew up my whole life and I got where I was good at working with things, but I never understood why. So I had to go and take a course at a junior college in electromagnetic force so I could understand why the electric motors worked the way they were. Now, I lived with my dad all those years and he never could teach me. So I knew at that moment when then the light went off when I was in the class and I said, this is why the thing works. This is why it turns the way it does. So I knew then that getting that understanding of why something works is more important than how it works or how to make it work. That is the point with deliverance. You can learn 10 different methods for deliverance. You know this, Shannon. You can get 10 deliverance ministers in a room, and you will come up with 15 different ways to do deliverance because they're all a little bit different. They all have their own way that they do it based on their strengths, their personalities, their calling from the Lord. And that's just that. So it's not so important to learn the procedure of deliverance. But what is important is to understand what's going on behind the scenes with the spirit world, with the demons that are messing with you, that have an attachment to you. That's what's more important. Not just learning how to do deliverance, but learning why and how the spirits operate. So that's what I want to share with you tonight a little bit. We've been talking about, you know, that you're going to have to do self-deliverance. And that is a fact. I'm sorry to tell you that, but it's the truth. It helps to have a deliverance minister to pray for you the first time to identify what demons, what demonic forces you are dealing with. That can help you. That can give you a shortcut. And they can call them out of you and you can get a deliverance. But then it is up to you to hold that deliverance and to keep the door shut. It's up to you. And it's getting harder, getting tougher, because the dark forces are strengthening. I know you don't want to hear that.
It's true.
They are strengthening. They're coming into this world at floodgate speed in torrents, more so than ever. And it's happening. You can see the evidence of it everywhere if you take your head out of the sand and you start to face this. But you're going to have self-deliverance. So I want to talk about some specific things you can do tonight, specifics when it comes to getting yourself demon-free, and then most importantly, staying demon-free. So step number one, the title of this message is 7 Steps to Self-Deliverance. 7 Steps to Self-Deliverance. Step number one, and this may seem obvious to you, but it's not to a lot of people. You have to know that this spiritual warfare stuff is real. Now, that seems like a brain-dead statement, but it's not. You have to open up your mind to some new ways of thinking that you may have never considered in the past. And you're going to have to, what I call, suspend critical thinking. That is one of the greatest hindrances to anyone becoming a Christian, getting saved, being born again, certainly getting filled with the Holy Spirit or receiving deliverance, is they have critical thinking. Your mind, we are taught to think critically. That means to judge things, to look at a thing based on our previous input into our mind as to what a thing could be. Whatever our predisposition is towards a thing, that's what we think of it. And that's what critical thinking is. When it comes to the Lord, He transcends all of that. The Bible says His ways are above our ways. You can't search out the Lord. You can't figure Him out. So you have to suspend your critical thinking and start to move in something called faith. You're going to have a new paradigm. We often talk about paradigm. But that's the first thing. To suspend your critical thinking and realize spiritual warfare is real. And along with that, begin a self-education process. You're going to need to seek out material to study. I recommend Derek Prince, an excellent resource. You can just do a Google search on Derek Prince, and you will find all sorts of YouTube things. He has some fantastic books that are more or less textbooks for this whole deliverance thing. They Shall Expel Demons is one of them. Another one I highly recommend is Win Worley. He has a series of little small books, little booklets that have, they're packed with information, and many people don't like to have a big book in their hand. They like to have little booklets that they can read through more quickly. So Win Worley, you can find all of that stuff. Pastor John Gogan has that all in his bookstore, doesn't he, Shannon?
He does. And in fact, he's got a brand new bookstore that's up and running, open for business at agapebiblebr.com. There's a link from our website. If you're just joining us, we're live with Pastor Rick Bell of heavenlywarriors.com. Brother Rick, you're exactly right, my brother. We've got to get some ammunition, spiritual ammunition, trained up, suited up, and go to war against these devils out there in the name of Jesus. And there may be none to deliver because so few want to get in this battle that, folks, you may have to self-deliver in Jesus' name. And I encourage couples out there to get in the battle and begin to pray one for the other. You know what, Brother Rick? A man praying for his wife, or a wife praying for a husband, or parents praying for their kids, casting out devils in Jesus' name is a powerful thing.
Extra powerful.
It's shaking their boots.
It's extra powerful because you have that blood covenant going on there, see? It's more powerful than just a stranger or an acquaintance. When you've entered into the two shall become one flesh, you have a blood covenant. You have authority. That's like laying hands on your child. You have blood covenant with them. So you have more power and more authority, but you have to know that, have to know to enter into that. So the first thing is you're going to suspend critical thinking and start to seek out educational material to learn about this stuff. The second step, step number two, you're going to take an honest, long look in the mirror at yourself, at your life, at your struggles. The Bible says in Proverbs 21:2 that every way of a man is right in his own eyes. So we have that natural state of mind of we are right. And that gets entrenched in us. And you're going to have to fight against it, because pride will keep you from getting this deliverance, getting this self-deliverance. Pride's a strong man, and it's one of the strongest. That was Satan's sin. Pride got puffed up. We get ourselves puffed up because, you know, we're taught from childhood. I was taught, my mother told me, you got to be tough. And you got to, she always said, you have to blow your own horn because no one's going to blow your horn for you. I said, well, what does that mean, Mom? She said, when you go into a room, you let them know you're there, and you have to reach out and take what you want in life. And it's about you. You take care of you. Well, that's the mindset that we have. And we have to overcome that, because when you take a look in the mirror and look at your flaws and what's going on with you, how can you identify your flaws? Have you had problems being in relationships? Has that been a problem for you? Has there been fighting in the relationships? Has there been substance abuse? Has there been infidelity, either on your part or your partner's part? Take a look at what you could possibly be struggling with. And that is where a deliverance minister can help you. Someone who doesn't know you, doesn't have any background on you, a stranger. When that person can say, you know, you're struggling with so-and-so, and ding, the little thing goes off in your head, you go, how would he know that? How would he know that's what I struggle with? Well, that's the Holy Spirit just revealing that. So that's part of taking that look in the mirror, and you may not have a deliverance minister to be able to do that. But the Holy Spirit will reveal to you what you struggle with. And again, look at your past. Have you had a problem with anger? Have you had a tendency to get mad, blow up? Has it cost you job positions? Or have you put yourself in relationships that were abusive to you, and you've just stayed in those year after year? I mean, there are all kinds of patterns, but that's number two, looking in the mirror, taking an honest look at what you struggle with. Then number three, these are steps to self-deliverance. The third thing, you're going to need to identify the trauma points in your life, that things that happen to you that cause the reactions that you exhibit. In other words, something happened somewhere that opened a door for a demonic stronghold to get into you. That may be that you had a very critical parent, and you really never got a lot of praise at home. And kids need praise. Kids need to be told, you know, you're good at that. You know, Shannon, as ironic as it may sound today, I never was told I was good at anything. So what did I do? I set out to overachieve in everything so that I could get the approval of my parents. But that approval never came. My mother dropped dead when I was, you know, 26 years old from a stroke. My dad shot and killed himself 16 months later. And Shannon, years after they were gone, I was still trying to get their approval. And they were dead. They were in the ground. But something in me,
God have mercy.
Yes, and I am not alone in this. There are so many thousands who are listening who are going to hear this. You're going to relate to what I'm saying. Your parents may be long gone, but you were still trying to fix something that wasn't right, that was broken when they were here. I was still trying to get that approval, and so I superachieved at everything, but it was never enough because I was trying to scratch an itch that couldn't be scratched. And you got to look back at the points in your life that caused you to do the things that you're doing now. Those are the doorways. You got to identify these things. These are the steps. That's number three. Number four, You have to recognize the specific demonic forces that operate in and through the responses that you have to something. Now, this is going to be a new way of thinking for you. It's going to be a new way of reacting, a new paradigm, because these ways you have reacted in the past, they're just normal for you. You've just gotten used to them. So somebody cuts you off in traffic and you get mad about that. And you don't think anything about it. You forget about it in a few minutes and you drive on down the road because it's become normal to you. That's where the self-examination comes in, and you have to realize what's going on with my emotions. Listen, if you get nothing else from this teaching, get this. Demons operate in your emotional realm. Let me say it again. It's important. Demons operate in and through your emotions. Your emotions drive you to do things. Some of them that you shouldn't do. Your emotions are what get away from you when you have a blow up, a temper blow up. Your emotions are what make you jealous or envious of the guy down the street who just got the new bass boat that you want. Your emotions will cause you to get off track. The worst thing you can listen to is your emotions. God gave us emotions so that we can love and we can feel empathy and we can care for people. But he did not give us the emotions to be ruled by them. So understand, demons come in and they operate in that emotional realm. So you got to start to figure out, where are your weaknesses? What's your thought process? You know, how does it get going in your mind? Someone will say something to you and it can crater your day. A coworker can say 5 words to you, but if there are certain 5 words, it will make you feel depressed and defeated all day. What are those 5 words? And look at that, because it's going to be a recurring thing that's going to happen over and over with you. Look and examine, what are the 5 words a person's saying? And what is the demonic drivers behind that that are clicking, flipping the switches on in you to get the response that you give over and over? All right, that was number 4. Number 5, you're going to have to take a stand and expel the demons once you identify them. This is important. Now, number 1, you can't get them out if you don't know what they are. If you don't know that they're in there, if you're just okay, well, this is just how I am. You know, my granddaddy had a temper, and my daddy had a temper, and I do too. That's just the way it is. You know, I'm a redhead, so redheads just have a temper. You know, I heard that my whole life. I grew to believe that. Well, redheaded people, they have tempers. They just get mad. My granddad was Irish. He said Irish people just get mad and they drink a lot. I thought, okay, I guess that's what Irish people do. But of course, that's not true. But you have to understand what you're dealing with. What are your tendencies? You may have been told something your whole life and you may have believed it, but that's a demonic stronghold in you. So once you understand what the demons are, once you've looked in the mirror and you say, oh, I got a problem with this, and God has started to reveal where that came in, where was the open door, then you have to evict. Everyone knows what that word means, evict. If anyone's ever been evicted, they know what it means. Thank God I've never been evicted, but I used to have to evict people. I was in law enforcement and I was a constable for 4 years. And a lot of what I did was evict people from their house, their home that they were renting or that they had fallen behind on the payment, whatever. I had to go and literally put their stuff out in the front yard. Hated that job. Hated it. Hard, but that was the law. That's what I had to do. So I understand eviction. You have to evict the demons from your life. You are the owner of your house. You own that house that you're in, but you have trespassers in it. Your body is your house. You own it. You're the landlord. Now, wherever you are tonight, if an intruder came into your house how long would it take you to dial 911 and have them removed? Would you just sit there all night and say, oh, well, I've got an intruder in here. I'm just going to let him stay. Maybe they won't steal anything. Maybe it'll be all right. Maybe they won't bludgeon me to death tonight. Maybe it'll be okay in the morning. No, you would immediately make the call and get them out. Why? Because you have the authority to do that. When you call 911, here's what happens. I know this because I was a cop. The cop shows up, says, what's going on here? The owner of the house says, this is my house. That person's trespassing. The cop turns to the other person and says, is this his house? Person says, yep. The cop says, you don't have a right to be here. And it doesn't matter what the other person, the second party, says. Well, I want to stay here, or my stuff is here. No, no, no. You're going. You're going right now. So start moving towards the door, or we will remove you from the house, and you will be charged with trespassing, which means a trip to the police station and handcuffs, and you're going to get booked. So the homeowner has authority to evict, to throw the person out of the house. And I want you to get this concept in your spiritual battle with these demons. You have the authority. You've just got to call spiritual Holy Ghost 911. And you just got to say, Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke this demonic force in my life. Now you get out of here. And guess what? The police shows up. We call them the Popo. The Pope, the Holy Ghost Popo shows up, and they're... the demons got to go. Listen, let me tell you one thing. An intruder does not have a choice when the police show up. Shannon, if there's an intruder in a house and they send a squad car and the intruder doesn't want to leave, within about 38 seconds, four more squad cars are out there.
That's right.
If they can't handle it, within about 2.5 minutes, the sheriff's department, the FBI, the constables, the game wardens, every law enforcement unit within a, 2-mile radius or whatever is swarming that place. Now, let me tell you how this works. If that won't do it, they will escalate to a point where they have the National Guard around your house. Do you hear what I'm saying? There is no limit to the force they will use to do what they need to do. They can escalate to a point that there's nothing you can do to thwart them. It's like that with this Holy Spirit warfare. That's what I want you to understand. If the first squad car of angels doesn't get the eviction done, there's five more squad cars immediately showing up. Get this in your mind, because you guys have watched cops on television and seen those shows. You know how it goes. When the cops show up, things happen. You got this authority, and you have to start evicting these demons out of your life. The sixth thing you got to do, you're going to have to take over your mind and your thought process. That you're going to have to take over your thoughts, because they've been held captive for a long time. 2 Corinthians 10, 4 and 5 says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, for the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. You're going to have to get every thought and bring it into captivity. And here's another illustration for you on that. When I was a police officer, we had a call one night and there was a burglary. Listen, this is what happened, man. You can't make this stuff up. There was a burglary. It was about 2 o'clock in the morning. And it was at a business on the other side of the tracks, kind of a secluded business. I roll up. I'm the first one that rolls up. No, I'm the second one. I'm the second officer on the scene. The first officer is an older officer, and he's kind of in his later years. He's just wanting to retire, okay? He just wanted out. He's had like another year to do, and he's going to get his retirement. So he would just kind of go through the motions on his shift. Usually when you're older like that, you've become a sergeant or of some rank, but he was still a patrolman because he just wanted to get, get his retirement and go. He's the first one. He has this guy stopped. Now listen, man, this dude is walking about 50 yards. Oh, he's walking away from this building that had just been burglarized. The glass was broken. This guy has a crowbar in his back pocket.
Whoa.
And he's got money falling out of his pockets. He's standing on the street. Money's falling out of his pockets. And I said, what do you have here? And we call this officer, you'll find this funny, we called him Moondog. And cops have these little sayings for one another. I called him Moon. I said, what do you got, dog? What do you have here? He said, oh, this guy was, he said he was walking by and he saw a guy, you know, run out of there with, you know, with money. I said, what's he doing with that crowbar in his pocket? He said, oh, the guy dropped the crowbar and he picked it up and put it in his pocket. And the guy dropped some of the money and he just picked it up. I said, wait a minute. I said, dude, turn around, put your hands behind your back. Because look, Shannon, obviously he was the burglar. He did it. He broke the thing. He just got caught doing it. So he had this elaborate story. And the other cop was saying, you know, he says he saw this guy. No. Dude, you're busted. There was nothing. When the handcuffs go on, there's nothing else you can do. That's the way it is with this spiritual warfare. But you're going to have to take your thoughts captive. You're going to have to put handcuffs on them, all right? Listen, you're in charge. When you roll up in the squad car, you're in charge. You are in charge of your thoughts, but you got to lock them down. When that voice says, nah, you know, you're really not that good at stuff. You really need to just quit that job. You really need to just give up on that. You can't do that. Who do you think you are? That's when you shut that thing down, saying, in the name of Jesus, I know who I am. Satan, you demon of low self-esteem, you demon of depression, get behind me in the name of Jesus. And that is what you have to do. That's number six. All right, number seven. We're moving along because I know we're at the top of the hour here. The seventh thing that you've got to do in these seven steps for deliverance is you have to start to recognize every setup the demons try to use to get you back under their control. They will set traps for your emotions. And they won't happen every day, but they will set traps. And you have to start to recognize these. In the past, listen, you would have just said to yourself, it was just a bad day. Just bad luck. You know, have you ever known people, Shannon, that seemed to have a black cloud that just followed them? No matter what they touched, it turned to dirt. It didn't work for them.
Sure.
Well, that's a curse. You're living under a curse. There's something wrong with that. And you have to start to recognize when those thoughts come to your mind and when things start to happen that are out of the ordinary, that what are the chances? You know, I used to tell people that, you know, what are the chances of some weird thing happening? And if the chances are astronomical, that how did that just happen like that? Start looking for a spiritual component to it, a demonic driver. And that's just the fact. That's just the way it is. When things don't seem to have a valid reason, it's just something, a weird coincidence, start looking for a demonic driver. So number seven, start to recognize the setups and don't fall into that. Satan, the demons will send people into your life. It will almost always be a person that's going to bring this thing back to you because it's about your emotions. And that person will either get you angry with them, get you lusting after them, get you jealous of them, get you disliking them, some sort of emotional response. That's what it'll trigger. I'm telling you, don't fall for that. Once you take control and take your thoughts captive, just let it start rolling off your shoulders. Let it go. I know you probably work with someone who gets under your skin. Almost everyone does. There's someone at work, and unfortunately, a lot of times it's a supervisor. When that person comes to you and brings conflict and says ugly things to you and criticizes you, listen, let it go. Just keep smiling. Just, oh, okay. Oh, yeah. Right. Okay. Yeah. Be respectful, but just let it roll off of your back. The most important, one of the most important skills you can learn is to de-escalate a situation. Stand down, step down. That means don't get engaged in a blow-up. You know, somebody will get mad at you, get up in your face, and you will immediately have an adrenaline dump that goes, whoa, wait a minute. Oh, no, I don't think so. I don't think so. And you'll rise up to that thing, and before you know it, you've opened the door and you got stuff that's coming back clinging to you. Start to take the other tack. Start to de-escalate the situation. Let them say whatever they're going to say, whatever they're going to do. I actually worked the last couple of years of my corporate career. I worked in an office with two witches. I don't mean they were just mean women. They were witches. One of them was a fortune teller, professional psychic, and the other one was so deep in New Age stuff that, I mean, that was the owner of the company, dude. It wasn't my choice. I just ended up through my business. The company I worked for 13 years got acquired by these people. And so I'm in an office with these people, right? You know, 10 feet from me, there's a witch and a psychic. Now, you talk about an uncomfortable situation every day, walking into that. But this, I had to put this into practice. I had to just de-escalate, because that psychic would come in there and she would start in, wanting to start a big fight with me about just anything, you know, just wanting to get some kind of conflict going. And I had to just say, oh, you know, yeah, it could be that. Yep, yeah, could be. A funny thing will happen if you just ignore them and ignore the strife. It'll tend to de-escalate. But that's what you have to do. So those, again, those are the seven steps. We're out of time on this, but let me briefly go back over them. Seven steps to self-deliverance. First of all, you have to realize this is real stuff, and you're going to have to educate yourself. Seek out some books. Eric Prince, Win Worley, Pastor John Gogan's website. Shannon has a link on his website to that. Number two, take a long, honest look in the mirror. Look at yourself. Look at the way you respond to things. What trips your trigger? Where are your weaknesses? What, you know, where are your addictions? That's part of that mirror thing, addictions. Number three, identify the trauma points in your life that open the door for these ways you're feeling. That's really the key to it. You can't close the door unless you know where it's open. So look back over your life and see what happened to you. Write it down. Take a notebook and just write down things that the Holy Spirit shows you. And He may not show them all to you in one day. Maybe a process. It may be more than you can handle for Him to show them to you all at once. Number four, recognize the specific demon forces that operate through that trauma time in your life. There'll be specific things. It might be a demon of low self-esteem. But once you recognize that demon, it's real hard for them to continue to stay in that house. It's real hard once you recognize and you know what you're dealing with. Number five, take a stand and expel the demons. Like I said, you're going to evict them. You're going to evict them. If you want them out and they won't go, you call 911 and the Holy Ghost cops show up and they will get them out of there. That's just the way it is. End of story. Number six, take over your mind and your thought process. You must start to take every thought captive. Don't let your mind go those places where it used to, because it'll torment you. Your mind will torment you. Your thoughts will take you captive if you don't take them captive. And finally, number seven, recognize every setup that the demons are going to use to try to get back in and get back control of your emotions. Because why? They operate through your emotions. Get your emotions under control and you will be under control. Praise God, Shannon. I'm going to hand it back to you.
Great word tonight. Pastor Rick, give out your website and your contact information. Tell people how they can reach you and support your ministry.
Absolutely. Heavenlywarriors.com is the website. HEAVENLY Warriors, WARRIORS.com. And there's a PayPal button right there on the front page. If you'd like to support, you certainly can do that. And in fact, instead of supporting me, let me ask you to do this, because I know I heard Shannon say he needed a new computer. So I'm going to ask you, whatever you would give to me tonight, Please make that donation to Omega Man Radio. He's got to do an upgrade. This stuff that he does is hard on equipment, and it just wears it out after a while. Imagine all day, all night, these computers running. They're machines, and they run out. So I know he needs a new one. So if you would, whatever you were going to bless me with tonight, please send that to Omega Man Radio.
Love you, my brother. God bless you. It's an honor to work with you. And everybody, check out heavenlywarriors.com. Brother Rick, good word tonight. We'll see you next time.
Yes, you will. God bless you, man.
Thank you, Brother Rick.